We welcome to the Gospel Spotlight the godfather of gospel jazz, Ben Tankard. Ben, how are you?
You are so kind, man. I'm so glad to be here with you guys. How you doing today?
Hey, doing great. Ben, you've been at it for a while, and to have a number one album on the smooth jazz, how does that make one feel?
Man, it's such an honor because I've never had a number one, and I've been in the top 10 several times, and I've been in the music industry 30 years. I have 20 records out, and I love all of them, but is it the youngest baby always the cutest?
Hey. Oh, yes. To do Rise, a remake of that Herb Alpert classic, was there any pressure on you? Well, first of all, what made you want to do that, Ben?
Well, when I was raised in Florida, I came up in a very, very poor environment, and I was,
wow.
So I played basketball, and I was a tuba player in the band. And when I was in the band, I fell in love with this song in the late 70s, because I played tuba in the band. I was a brass player, and my trumpet player buddies used to always try to play Rise from Herb Alpert. It was just such a great song. And so years later, after I went to the NBA and got injured, got cut, went to the church and got saved, then Mr. prayed for my hands and told me to sit on the piano. You know my testimony. I began to play the first time like a pro and started doing this thing that I called gospel jazz. This song came back up in my spirit, and I wasn't able to record it until now because I was with a record label who didn't want to pay the royalties to Herb Alpert. Team and writers for using the song, and they always had some excuse, you know, for me not to do it. But I have my own record label now. So when I decided to do this record, not only did I decide to do the song, but I decided to make it the title cut. How cool is that?
Hey.
And Herb Alpert's people reached out to me and said, good job on the remake. You know, that's a high honor when the original artist tells you just as good or better than them.
Definitely. You had Marion Meadows on saxophone. How did that happen?
Oh, me and Marion have been friends for about 4 years, and we had one of those conversations where we said, hey, man, we need to do a song together. We need to do a record together. We need to do a tour together. So when I decided to put this song together, I decided to reach out to him and see if he would put his take on it, put his spin on it. And we didn't even have to get together in the studio. I just emailed him the track. He recorded it on his studio, you know, in his studio, and then emailed it back to me. And then I mixed it all together, and it sounded like we were in the same room together.
Wow. Let's go back a little bit, Ben. You were playing basketball. Your hopes of getting into the NBA, you get hurt. Did you think it's all over now?
Oh, man. You know how it is when you are thinking you fit to get some money. Every one of your listeners has experienced fitness, where you thought you was fitting to get the hookup, and fitness didn't happen. And so very disappointed because when you raised poor, you don't have anything, you came up on public assistance, welfare, peanut butter, powdered eggs, food stamps, that sort of thing. You know, now I have this opportunity to become a millionaire, possibly, playing basketball.
Mm-hmm.
So when the injury happened in camp, and I wasn't even able to continue in camp, I was cut from the team because they had so many other players there that were healthy, ready to walk on for less money. They had no reason to wait for me to get healed up because I wasn't a drafted player. I was a walk-on from overseas. I went to college, dropped out after 1 year, and then I went to play overseas, and I was invited to this camp. So I got to get to this camp perfectly. not been that depressed, I probably would not even be saved. I'd be out there running women, doing drugs, maybe even in prison. Who knows what my way my life would have gone had I not had the injury, got depressed, and was forced to turn to something that was more stronger than me, which was God Almighty.
God is good, and you have been a blessing with your music. Tell us about Afternoon Nap, which is taken from Rise as well.
Afternoon Nap is the second single from this record, and Afternoon Nap is my invitation for the listener to daydream in the middle of the day and dream about God's goodness. I want it to be a backdrop for creativity, and I wrote a book that was in Essence magazine. Bestseller, a year or so ago. It's called The Full Tank Life. And in that book, one of the biggest nuggets that I get response from was a little section that I call The Bedside Millionaire, wherein you get a notepad and you put it next to your bed, and at the top of your notepad, you just put The Bedside Millionaire. That's what you write at the top. And you keep a pen on top of that tab. So early in the morning or late at night, when you're very sleepy, on your way to sleep, or just getting up, when your defenses are down, that's where those million-dollar ideas pop into your head. And if you don't write it down, it'll escape you during the day. You'll be like, man, I had a good idea. I had a good invention. I had a good promotional idea. Something I was going to present to my supervisor. Man, I had a good idea, but I forgot it. So a short pencil is much more powerful than a long memory. So that this song, Afternoon Nap, invites us to pick that pad up and read what we've been writing early in the morning and late at night during your afternoon nap.
It's working. Was that the first single taken from your project?
That was the first single that was shipped to the gospel market. My special guest on that song is Kirk Whalum, and that's a very unique remix. A live remix of William Murphy's It's Working from several years ago. You know, he's leaning in my direction. Come on now.
Wow. Tell us about your television program as well.
Yes, we have a reality show. The first three seasons were on the Bravo Network. It's called Thicker Than Water, The Tankards. And so we will fulfill our three-season contract to Bravo. Signed up for three seasons, but everybody is saying, okay, guys, we want more of the Tankards. So we're coming back. We're in pre-production for season four. We're probably going to call it moving forward Thicker Than Ever, The Tankards.
Okay.
So thank you so much for that. By popular demand, you respond. And everybody loves a family story, and my family is big, blended family story, almost like a Black Brady Bunch.
Hey.
What's going to happen next? Everybody has their favorite member of the family that reminds them of their family. So the Tankards is your excuse to get together and have a good time on Sunday nights around the television.
Believe it or not, Ben, probably about 4 or 5 years ago, I'm thinking now, I had the opportunity to interview your wife, Jewel.
Oh, so
yeah, she did a book. And yeah, I had the opportunity to interview her. And now I get to interview her husband, Ben Tankard. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And I call Jewel my kingmaker.
Hey.
She has the ability to see things in me that I didn't even see in myself. And she's my biggest cheerleader. And her book is actually called The Millionaires.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it shows women how to get on their face before God and pray and get wisdom for the best. Wisdom for her family. So she's done a good job of that. She's the best part of me.
The NAACP Image Award, you have been nominated. How do you feel about that?
Oh, man, it's quite an honor because, you know, as you know, it's so good when anybody says, man, you've done great. But when your own people say you did a good job, it's time to have a party.
Hey.
If you...
Don't, that's so right.
I'm so excited about the Image Award. NAACP folks saying that I did a good job and I contributed to my community with my music.
You definitely have. You definitely have for a long time. What makes you so grounded and so down to earth? You've done so much, but talking to you, I can just feel it that, hey, this guy, Ben, he's a regular guy. What keeps you grounded?
Yeah, I try not to meet any stranger. I think what really helps me stay grounded is I got one of those wives that will say, excuse me, Mr. Grammy Award winner, take the garbage out.
Oh.
I got my kids won't never admit that I'm famous, you know, so that keeps me grounded. And I came from a very, very impoverished background. My mom always told me, she said, son, the higher you go, the sweeter you should be. So think about it now. God has blessed me with a big home in Tennessee, 3 vacation homes. How cool is that? Then they have a vacation home in Atlanta, Florida, and Detroit. To have multiple cars, a great career, gold records on the wall, 2 airplanes, and a pilot's license to fly the airplane.
Wow.
How blessed can a brother be? A beautiful wife, 5 children, 6 wonderful grandchildren. Let me tell you something. I'm happier than a witch in a broom factory with a 95% off coupon.
I heard that.
So if anybody that's going to have a bad attitude, it ain't
going
to be the tank. Hey. It's going to be somebody that ain't got nothing. Because God has been too good to me for me to have an attitude.
Our guest is Ben Tanker. Ben, how did you get into flying?
It was actually by necessity because the Lord grew my schedule so fast to where I couldn't get where I was going on a commercial airlines, and then to have a tour bus for a while. I was on a bus trying to do tours, and that didn't last because I had to leave in January and get home in September, you know, and that's hard on your family, you know, you being away. It takes 16 hours to get anywhere. So I talked to Amy Grant and Michael W. Smith back in the late 90s, and I found out that they were the only ones that were really flying their own airplane as Christian recording artists. So I began to just kind of watch them and grow my faith. I got enough money to purchase the owner's manual for an airplane. That was $85. I had that.
I heard that.
And so I would take the owner's manual and I would go sit up in the private airport and read the owner's manual. And I just wanted to study it and see how people acted that owned their own airplane. And so when somebody would fly in and come into the lobby of the private airport, I would watch them because I wanted to see how somebody that owned and flew their own airplane, how they acted and how they moved. And I did that for a couple of years until I started taking lessons, got my pilot's license, and now years later, I'm talking to you, I have owned and operated over 30 airplanes.
What a blessing. What a story. Our guest, Ben Tankard. Ben, how can one get in touch with you? Social media is everywhere. Where can we hook up with Ben Tankard?
The @ Ben Tankard gets to me on all the social media. My new school email address is bentankard@comcast.net. I check that once a week. But my old school email address is bentankard@aol.com. I check that every hour.
I heard that. Our guest. Yeah.
Shell, I have a sponsorship agreement with Shell Aviation. They are actually sponsoring my Rise tour and my Rise trips this year. Over 100 places. We're going to go do concerts or speak. And we're doing a small church or small venue or small city special to where if there's some churches or ministries or outreaches that can't afford to have a big shot come in, give us a call, contact us, and we'll get Shell.
Oh, that is so nice. So nice. Our guest, Ben Tankard, number one smooth jazz Billboard album, Rise. Congratulations once again, Ben. And may God continue to bless you with everything you continue to put your hands on. Ben, thank you for joining us inside of the Gospel Spotlight.
Yes, my pleasure. Thanks for having me. I look forward to coming back and hanging with you guys next time. God bless you all.
God bless you. Ben Tankard, inside of the Gospel Spotlight.